Coming up on show 1023, Tesla management reshuffle to focus on trucking and commercial. Electric vehicle, stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the show today, Model Y software update to help the cold weather abilities. Hyundai getting a new battery from China, and Audi throwing in the towel on combustion. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. It's Tuesday, 16th of March. I'm Martin Lee. Been through every EV story I can find, so you don't have to. I'm here to save you time. By the way, if you sometimes listen on Apple or podcast and sometimes Spotify, yes, I know Spotify hasn't updated the feed in about a week and a bit. Since the Onto Saturday special interview, since Rob Jolly from Onto did that interview on Saturday 10 days or so ago, so I don't know how I fix that. I'm going to be working with my podcast host to try and solve it. All I can say is Apple definitely looks good, Google looks okay, I use Overcast, pods are coming through fine, iHeart isn't updating, I can see that, and others as well. So yes, I'm on it, I'm sorry, trying to fix. Welcome to a new Patreon executive producer, DCEV. Thank you for your support on Patreon, becoming a new exec producer, DCEV. Okay, we'll start with news of the Model Y software upgrade, helping out the winter abilities. The 2021.4.12 update helps out with cold weather conditions, says Tech Times website, to address the issues that perhaps have plagued the 3 and the Y since they've been released, really. Tesla often get criticized as being a Californian company. The latest update was spotted by Tesla users who point out that in the update notes there were some minor updates for the winter adaptability and cold weather improvements. The most noticeable for those seem to be, not that Tesla have announced this, but from the community, seems to be a lot stronger regen when the weather is very cold. So the ability to put a lot more energy back into the battery recovered from slowing down. Also in the news today, according to the white hat hacker Green the Only on Twitter, he sort of busts into Tesla code and tells you what's going on. He says, and I quote, "So we all heard how Tesla insurance does not use individual driving data. Well, the times are a-changing. 2021.4.12 adds the collection of insurance telemetry," end quote. So a bit of a kerfuffle breaking out online from people responding to that, a thread that he put online saying, "I don't care if Tesla know how I'm driving, just give me cheap insurance." Other people saying, "Weren't they already monitoring my driving?" And other people pointing to the FAQs, which say, at the moment, at least the California insurance project product for Tesla does not collect information about how you are driving. By the way, I have no issue with individual data, not that you asked, as long as it's anonymized. I don't want my name and my address and my GPS location sitting on Tesla's or anyone's servers, because we all know how data gets used and misused. There was a story only last week, I didn't put it on the podcast, but a story last week about the company that provides Tesla's CCTV. A Silicon Valley company, very high-tech, very forward-thinking, state-of-the-art system, got hacked. So the hackers were sitting there watching Tesla factories. So, you know, and by the way, and hospitals and other things that this company provided services to. So, yeah, forgive me if I don't want as much of my personal data sitting on random servers as some companies would like. Individual data points, no problem. Just anonymize them, please. Anyway, one Twitter comment from at TeslaTony310 said, "They said as much a couple of conference calls ago. They have an option to launch the regular type of insurance in California or vehicle telematics to offer a better product. Good to see it showing up." He says, "Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about there, Tesla Tony. If you look back at a previous earnings call, Zach Kirkhorn said, and I quote, 'What we're working on now is what we call version 2. We can call it the first version of our telematics product. And so really, ultimately, where we want to get to with Tesla insurance is to be able to use the data that's captured in the car, in the driving profile of the person in the car, to be able to assess correlations and probabilities of crash and then be able to assess a premium on a monthly basis for that customer," end quote. So that is very clear. They'll know everything about you. Often the case now, some insurance companies have a little OBD2 dongle that plugs into your car. Some new drivers now have to have an app running running when they're driving, black boxes in the boot, the Apple monitor speed and G-forces, and tell the insurance company how you're driving. So these products are out there already. I don't want them. Look, if my insurance was going to be 50 quid more, I'll have the coverage where people don't know where I've been at what time of day. Thank you. If it is double, it's an interesting question then. Like, oh, okay, how much is my data worth? Kind of a moral question being introduced on the podcast today. Let's move on. Tesla have been lobbying the UK government to raise taxes for petrol and diesel. Elon Musk's Tesla have been lobbying UK government to raise taxes on fuels in order to fund subsidies for EVs alongside a ban on hybrids. The US car maker called for a rise in fuel duty and a charge on petrol and diesel purchases, actual buying the car, to pay for grants and tax breaks like a VAT exemption on pure EVs. Goodness me, I'd love that. 20% off a brand new EV. Yes, please. this is a report by The Guardian today, Tuesday 16th of March, on guardian.co.uk by Jasper Jolly. He writes, the proposals would theoretically add thousands of pounds to the cost of a new petrol or diesel car while making EVs cheaper. In the UK, the Conservative government has frozen fuel duty for 11 years in a row now, a subsidy for petrol and diesel that has been worth £50 billion. Yeah, you could call this the Norway model. So in Norway, they do two things. They make EVs cheaper to buy, and they make fossil cars extremely expensive to buy. So it's both carrot and stick in Norway, I believe. But Jan from E-Mobility Norway, one of my sponsors of this podcast, would be able to fill me in, and has done in the past on a Saturday special. Go check it out on the blog at ev.news. Just use the search box, and you can listen to a great interview about how Norway became the leading country in the world through regulation. And it's a fascinating interview. I might go back and listen to that to myself at some point, just because he had so many good insights. All right, headline story next. And from Tesla, they're moving their automotive president. They're shuffling him to a different department. This doesn't seem like a demotion or even a step sideways to me. His name is Jerome Guillen, and he's going to lead their trucking business. Tesla has moved its former president of automotive, Jerome Guillen, into the role of president of heavy trucking, according to a regulatory filing dated March the 11th. This change means less responsibility, according to this article I'm seeing on CNBC. They say less responsibility for Guillen. He oversaw the company's entire vehicle business since his appointment in the third quarter of 2018. In its fourth quarter 2020 shareholder deck, Tesla said the Semi program was in development, but promised Semi deliveries would begin sometime in 2021. So we've seen the latest version of the truck. We got the official video only a couple of days ago on their test track of it driving around. We've seen the drones taking pictures of it on the Tesla test track. Listen, unless he's particularly upset Mr. Musk, I don't know, said, hey, Elon, sometimes on Twitter, you're a bit of an idiot. Unless he's upset him, right, and I'm not sure that's the case, this guy is, I think, enormously highly regarded at Tesla. He's reported into Mr. Musk for maybe the last 10 years directly, okay, and for the last couple of years, the last 3 years, has been head of automotive. Whilst some reports say it's less for him, less responsibility, it's not a demotion, but almost a step sidewards, I don't think that could be further from the truth. I think he is one of the star players at that organization, and I think he's done such a good job with automotive that Tesla will take trucking far more seriously than a bunch of drone and spy shots of the latest prototype semi-truck flying around and everyone getting excited for, you know, what it looks like and all those kind of things. This, to me, signals that trucking will be a huge business for Tesla, as much as energy and the 3 and the Y and solar storage, because he just seems too good to, and has been with the company too long in too much of a senior position to shuffle away. And so, watch this space, I guess we will say. Now, to me, I'm reading between the lines. I could be entirely wrong, and always feel free to tell me, hey, you're entirely wrong. You can email me anytime, hello at evnewsdaily.com. I just think that this is way more than about the semi-truck. And maybe the Cybertruck will come underneath the trucking business? I mean, I don't know. He's president of heavy trucking. Doesn't sound like the Cybertruck would fit into heavy trucking. It does tell me it's far more than just what we know at the moment. Hey, I could know nothing. All right, moving on. Hyundai are going to use a battery from BYD, according to rumours. Of course, they're made in China. According to a Korean newspaper report, Hyundai are in talks with BYD about the supply of their batteries. They call them the Blade batteries. For EVs made by Hyundai, but sold in China. BYD has set up a business unit responsible for cooperating with Hyundai and offer to supply the batteries from 2022, says Electrive. According to an article in Business Korea, BYD supplying the South Korean car maker with those batteries from the battery factory in Chongqing. Chongqing? Oh, goodness me, I've said that wrong probably. I'm so sorry. With a planned annual capacity of 20 gigawatt hours in the central Chinese city, where Hyundai also has a car plant. That's convenient. They make about 300,000 vehicles there. The BYD factory is the only production base for the Blade battery that was released about a year ago. Hyundai has so far relied on CATL, another battery cell supplier for its EVs based on the EGMP platform, in addition to SKI. The IONIQ 5, the first car coming on that new platform, is solely, exclusively SK Innovation cells, by the way. Staying with BYD, funnily enough, a press release dropped today from them. The BYD press release says that the new Blade battery that they are revealing is being used in the seven-seater BYD Tang. That's a big old SUV, the car, first car powered by their latest battery technology for Norway. Following an exhaustive development program, they say, they returned impressive test results. A nail penetration test confirmed the Blade battery's surface temperature only got to 30 to 60 degrees C while emitting no smoke or fire. Further tests on the batteries to a 300 degrees C furnace and a 260% overcharge, neither of which resulted in any fire and no explosion. The results provide evidence, they say, that these BYD batteries outperform traditional lithium batteries and lithium iron phosphate technologies. For longevity, they claim the Blade battery will do 1.2 million kilometres or 3,000 cycles of charging and discharging on that new Tang. It's a new car, so they're not sure how they've worked that out. So they've obviously clearly done some testing there, some lab tests, and been able to run some simulations that put the BYD Tang with this new battery at 1.2 million kilometres after 3,000 cycles of charging and discharging. Really, really interesting stuff, actually. A lot of the battery technology stuff is probably at the same pace of development, I would say, as the cars right now. So for years and years, we've just talked about cars. Well, often we talk about cars coming on the horizon. Now we're talking about the cars arriving. But equally, there's so much battery technology stuff coming down the line that it's really, really interesting to talk about and learn about. I'm learning a ton about batteries because I'm far from an expert. And so I really enjoy putting the show together and doing the research involved as well. And then hopefully bringing you, you know, the results of that, fingers crossed. Next, Audi are stopping development of new combustion engines, according to a German newspaper article. VW subsidiary Audi has abandoned developing new combustion engines. Oh, what a shame. A Volkswagen Group initiated a remarkable transformation after Dieselgate. What with Power Day only yesterday, they have not set an end date for their fossil-gobbling machines, says Clean Energy Wire. But the reason why are Audi stopping the next generation of pistons, it's the Euro 7. It's the European or the EU emissions rules. Euro 7 is coming. And a friend of mine who works in vehicle engineering says, look, it's achievable. Like these Euro 7 regulations, these emissions targets, you know, they're not impossible. They can be done. But it's going to be fabulously expensive. You're going to have to put some batteries and some electrification in there to get the emissions numbers down. So they're all going to be hybrids anyway. So just make EV, or at least just make plugins, but just make EVs. It's in many cases a cost thing rather than the car companies wanting to do the right thing. Oh, we're going to make clean cars. It's not about that. It's like, well, you know, where do we put our money? I mean, we can meet the regulations, but it's going to be tough. Like, just make EVs. Lovely. However we get there. I don't mind. However we get there. The CEO, Marcus Duisman, said the new emissions rules were, and I quote, technically a huge challenge with little benefit for the environment, end quote. Next, we'll talk about Audi and the RSE Tron GT, a name that I still can't get my head around. The RS version of the e-tron GT. Shouldn't it be the e-tron GTRS? No, not according to Audi. The Audi RS. And when you look at the badging on the boot as well, at the back of the car, they've put it in that order. To remind people, this is how we want you to say it, RS e-tron GT. So the RS version has been tested. It got a German spec car shipped over to the US for Autoblog to drive. And they like it. They say the e-tron GT starts at $99,900. Before destination charges, the RS version adds 40 grand. On paper, there are places where a Model S from Tesla wins more storage, and also that 0-60 time of 1.99 seconds for the Plaid Plus, which costs $145,000, has three motors, and is not on sale until the middle of next year because that's been delayed. So, you know, we're in the interesting situation here of, you know, Teslas have been on sale for ages. And they've been compared to the cars that are just around the corner. Well, here's a car from Audi, which is out now, and it's being compared to a Tesla, which is a year and a half away. So what do you want to do? You can wait for the car from Tesla, or you can have a car on the road right now. It's a nice little sort of reversal of roles there. Kind of a Freaky Friday, changing places kind of thing going on there. However, whilst the Tesla Model S will have a ton of fans for the Plaid Plus version, it's just going to be insane performance. 520 miles of range. I mean, how much more do you need? For those who are accustomed to traditional cars, for want of a better word, it is the unquantifiable areas like the interior, the feel, the steering response that Audi lovers will want that car for. The e-tron GT slots nicely into the sweet spot between the base Taycan, Porsche Taycan, and the 4S, while the RS e-tron GT sits between the 4S and the Turbo. In both cases, the Audi actually strikes a perfect balance, and factoring in the charm is arguably the one to get over the Porsche Taycan, at least is their conclusion from Autoblog. And that is your podcast for today. Hey, thank you for listening. And once again, I'm sorry for the feed problems with Spotify. I'll give it a kick. Control-Alt-Delete. Just turn it off and on again. We're working on that. There are 1,022 episodes in the archive. My blog is ev.news. It just sits there, collects shows. There's a search function. You can go back and listen to anything in the past. And our Patreon is how we fund the show. patreon.com/evnewsdaily. You don't have to. Obviously, I'll make the show, whatever. But thank you to everyone who supports and our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com, Derek Riley and his fabulous EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, and Richard with a whole load of stock right now if you want your Teslas or EVs, actually, rsev.co.uk. Have a wonderful day. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.